Hello, welcome back to the Stretford Padded Podcast, joined as always by my main man, Tom. How you doing, man?
How do you do?
So we've given ourselves a little bit of a task today, haven't we?
Sure have.
In the light of all, you know, every day we're linked with new players, or the same players, I should say. We've got the De Ligts, we've got the Wan-Bissakas, we've got the...
Bruno Fernandes,
we've got the Harry Maguires, we've got, you know, the names. Every day on Twitter, everyone has a source, everyone's breaking new stuff, all these real journalistic accounts are getting mass retweets and likes just by putting out absolute garbage, so...
Sure do.
So we've given ourselves a little bit of a thing today. We're doing three ins and three outs. But the players we're bringing in, we tried to limit it to players that maybe haven't been talked about that much during the summer so far. Players we think have kind of sat under the radar, we'd say, for a lot of a lot of the season. A lot of players, some players that we think should be hyped up and talked about a lot more. So Tom, we'll get straight into it. Who is your first in that you would like to see at the club this summer?
The first person is Gianluigi Donnarumma.
First take, by the way. Classic pronunciation.
So he's 20 years old. Absolute, like, major resale value if we're to sell him years down the line. He's proven himself at Inter Milan. That's a rookie mistake. AC Milan for, like, what, 2 or 3 years now?
I think it's like 4 or 5 at this stage. He broke into the team when he was, like, just turned 16 or something like
mental,
that, wasn't he?
Absolute mental. He's got, like, 15 clean sheets and only conceded 32 goals in all competitions this season, which I think is, like, around 40-odd games. Insane.
Yeah. And also, as well, the fact that, I'm not sure if you've been keeping track, apparently AC Milan... They're reporting some massive losses ever since they got taken over by that Chinese club, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's been something like 100 million loss per year. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me similar like Leeds United territory. I think maybe Milan, and I'm sure you'd agree, are maybe a bit too big of a club to go through what Leeds United are doing.
So with that saying, that first out would probably be David De Gea, which over the years has been absolutely immense for us, but... He wanted to leave several years ago to go to Madrid. That obviously won't be the case now with them having Courtois, but PSG looks likely. So I think if we sell him, bring in Donnarumma, I think we'd also have some loose change as well from that.
I think he wants to go as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been every summer, I think, De Gea, and don't get me wrong, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, this is not us tarnishing his name. This is not us, you know, forgetting everything he's done for the club over the years. This is not us, you know, slamming him for wanting to leave. I'm surprised he's kept around for so long, but if he's got 1 year left on his contract...
Yeah. Cash in.
And he wants cash in, exactly. Yeah. Cash in. I said earlier on the live stream that I wouldn't mind giving Sergio Romero the you know, the starting position for the season, given the fact we're not going to compete, and maybe bleed Dean Henderson into the squad. But I'd be in agreement with you. It looks like he wants to leave.
Yeah.
PSG probably are the... I can't think of any other club, really, who need a goalkeeper that bad now.
I don't know.
Well, Chesney's been doing bits for them this season, hasn't he? He's kind of proven himself. I don't know what Arsenal were doing letting him go. And they had agent check for years. But it looks like PSG, and I'm surprised PSG are even in for them. Areola's a pretty capable, you know, maybe in the eyes of PSG, maybe he's not, but they're Galactico type signing. But
yeah,
I do think De Gea will probably... And Donnarumma's... Good shout, to be fair.
Incredibly.
He does. I think it's because he's been around for so long.
Like 20 years old.
Isn't that insane, though?
Yeah.
And he's like 6'5", isn't he?
Yeah.
Absolute unit.
Absolutely.
But playing devil's advocate for a sec, he doesn't exactly have the best, if you remember, like, reputation for being... Like, he's been a bit of a shithouse in the past.
If you remember
demanding more money from Milan.
Yeah, the money thrown at him,
The money thrown at him after... It was an Italy game, And I'm just thinking to myself, if he does that at his boyhood club that he supports, what shit is he going to pull?
Raiola is his agent.
Oh, my. Raiola's his agent, is he?
Yeah.
Jesus H. Christ. May God have mercy on his souls. But I do agree... that's definitely a shout. And I think if AC Milan do kind of tank in a way financially, which I'm not saying they will, but those Chinese owners, I don't think have a clue what they're doing. It's definitely a good shout.
What's your first shout then?
Funny you should ask. I have gone for a little bit of an outside shout. I've gone for, obviously, centre back is a bit of a priority this season. I've gone for Willy Orban. I've gone for Willy Orban because he is a... He's a leader, to be honest. 26 years old, Leipzig captain. Captain of a Leipzig team that conceded the or had the most clean sheets in the league this year with 15, exactly. 5.7 clearances per game. So he takes absolutely no prisoners. He's absolutely smashing that up the pitch. 78% pass accuracy, which pretty all right. It's not the best, not the worst.
Yeah.
But he's 26. We're not investing in a kid who's 22. He's that right age as well. I don't think Leipzig... I think he's under contract till 2022. So maybe this summer might be one summer too early, but...
I don't think he'd cost an arm and a leg.
I don't think he would cost an arm and a leg either. I think the way that Paul Mitchell's recruiting at Leipzig, a guy, by the way, who I definitely put in the running for our director of football.
Oh, yeah.
I think they don't really have... I think if they sell... someone like Willy Orman, I think they're more than capable of going out there and finding some 12-year-old kid from the back arsenal who's going to grow up and, you know, future Ballon d'Or candidate, just the way they recruit and stuff.
I mean, they've got Salzburg, haven't they?
They bring
players up.
Naby Keita, did they get from?
Yeah,
they got Naby Keita from Salzburg, and they've gotten a few players from there as well.
Poulsen.
Did Poulsen come from Salzburg as well?
Yeah.
He's a unit and a half. He scored for Denmark last night against, I want to say, Georgia. But yeah, Willy Orban for me as well. International pedigree. Well, if you can call Hungary Orban. They got to the last Euros, didn't they? Actually did pretty well.
I do not remember.
They got to the last Euros and they were in the group with Portugal and... Portugal and Spain in the same... I think it was Portugal... Or was it? No, that was the world. Anyway, international pedigree, anyway, with Hungary. Hungarian captain, if I'm led to believe. And like you said, he's not going to cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Right. Who is your first... Oh, shit, you already said De Gea was your first out.
Yeah.
As for my first out at United, I've gone for Eric Bailly. I think Eric Bailly definitely has the ability there... to be a top-class defender, but two things play on my mind with Eric Bailly. Number one, he's so, so injury-ridden, isn't he?
He is.
He has this... he's running, like, 10 games. 10 games, I wish. I'm not even sure if it's 10 games at this stage, where we're starting to think that maybe he's the answer. Maybe this is...
Yeah.
And then either he drops a clanger or he gets himself sent off.
I think he's a little too hot-headed.
He is. He's a bit hot-headed. In the same way Marcus Rojo is, although I think he's a lot... more technically gifted than Marcus Rojo.
100%.
30 million for him was always going to be a bit of a punt. Allegedly, Ollie's still willing to give him a chance this summer. But I think when you consider his age, I think he's only 24, 25 now.
Resellability,
yeah. A lot of clubs are going to pay, and we're probably the main culprits of it, are just going to pay based on a player's age. Obviously, that does play a massive factor. But I think... if you take on Eric Bailly for another season and he misses two-thirds of the game this season, and I know, obviously, money isn't an issue with United, but it's still a business you're running.
Yeah.
I think cut your losses this summer. And if it's led to believe, I don't know why he's sticking around because all the Maguire stuff that's going around.
Sure.
I can't see him even playing that much if he's kept around, to be honest. But I don't know. Eric Bailly, for me... you know, I had high hopes from... I say I had high hopes. I'd never fucking seen him play before he signed for United, if I'm being honest.
To be fair, he did bits for Villarreal.
No, yeah.
In that one season he was there?
Yeah, I've seen, obviously, as soon as he signed, the old compilation on YouTube, as we all did, the Daniel James, you know. But yeah, I think this summer, for me, Eric Bailly, unfortunately, it's time to say goodbye. Right, next. Who's next for you?
Nicolas Pepe.
Tell me, why Nicolas Pepe?
He is fucking incredible.
He is. What numbers he's been putting up in
this year? He is as a 24-year-old right winger who would really like fill that gap on that right we've not had for years. Who was the last right wing we had who consistently played well?
Oh, the last right, I can't even.
That's it. It's Antonio Valencia.
Yeah, exactly. And he played right back in the second half of his career. Yeah.
So in 41 games, he's got 23 goals and 12 assists.
I think Mbappe is the only player to score more in Ligue 1 than him this season. Yeah,
it's incredible. I know Neymar got injured, but Cavani and...
you think they do have some quality players playing in Ligue 1, don't they?
Yeah, for sure.
But Pepe as well. And we were talking about it in the office last week. The Lille president has come out and admitted he's going as well. And he actually said, funny enough... that it's going to be either Liverpool or United going for him. He wants a bidding war. Apparently, they want upwards of 80 million, I think it's euro. It might be pounds, I'm not too sure.
That wouldn't be the worst figure in the world for... I don't know.
It's actually funny, because I mentioned it on the live stream today. Someone put up a tweet today saying, what 80 million got you 10 years ago, and what 8 million got you today? Because it's this day... to the day 10 years ago where
Ronaldo
left. Do you remember where you were when that happened, when Ronaldo left?
I was in school.
And I was in school as well. Because yeah. I remember it broke broke midday. I just remember being around school and then...
I remember Sky Sports News was on in the cafeteria.
Oh, right, yeah.
And...
You got Sky Sports News on in your school. I don't want school you went to, but...
Yeah, we had it on in the cafeteria, and I was distraught.
Oh, I remember my teacher coming up, one of the teachers coming up and saying to all the lads, I must have been like 11 at the time, oh, Ronaldo's leaving. You're like, yeah, all right, mate, shit's turning, you get home.
I actually remember that day as well. A mate who I always used to walk in with, Bolton fan, said that if Ronaldo hadn't have played for us that season, we wouldn't have won the league with all like the goals and stuff. Like,
yeah.
If they took that away, we would have finished like 13th in the league or some stupid stat like that.
Should have, could have, would have. Hypothetical. I remember I was like, yeah, right, get home, see the yellow banner at the bottom, heartbroken. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Nicolas Pepe, yeah.
Nicolas Pepe, incredible. I think maybe our next number seven?
Possibly, although I'm just so cautious about giving any sort of player the number 7.
I know.
Just look at the caliber. Sanchez, Depay, Valencia. Valencia even gave it up after one season. He gave it up and said he wanted to go back to 25.
That fuels so much rumour about Ronaldo coming back as well.
Yeah, it did, because that was peak Ronaldo return hopes, that was never going to happen. I still have high hopes he'll come back at the age of 55 and still play 4 games a season for us, and we'll still probably be looking to fill in the right wing gap next to Jesse Lingard, who will still be considered an up and coming young player.
He sure will be.
Anyway, right, Tom, who is the man to step out for Pepe to step in?
Our current number 7, Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that choice, by the way.
On a huge wage that it doesn't justify paying. Doesn't even play anymore. He's injured. He's just... He doesn't look like he wants to play anymore.
A little bit of me feels kind of sorry for Sanchez.
Yeah.
He has struggled with injury a lot of the time, and his performances, we saw he was on the decline at Arsenal, though.
Yeah.
At the time, I still think that it made a lot of sense for United to get him.
I was a massive Mkhitaryan fan.
I was
a little bit sad.
I was a huge
Mkhitaryan fan since he first came to Dortmund.
I was pretty gassed about him coming as well, just because remember when he came to United, he was like, was he a player? He wasn't player of the season, was he, in the Bundesliga? Just remember having an insane amount of goals and assists.
Didn't he get the most assists in Europe?
Yeah, it might have been up there. But I remember and it was for such good money as well. It was like 23 million. Even towards the end, I was at the end of kind of my rope with the inconsistency. But then again, there was a lot of rumours that he fell out with Jose.
What a scorpion.
And the dressing room. Oh, that offside score.
Oh, yeah.
I still say that was the best goal of 2016, because Giroud scored a week later.
And it was on the 1st of
January. Sorry,
January,
the 1st of January.
It technically was.
It was still the best goal of 2016. But yeah, Alexis Sanchez, I felt at the time it made a lot of sense. We were getting rid of a player who didn't want to be there. And at the end of the day, when you think about it, on paper, getting Alexis Sanchez for free, it was just a straight swap, wasn't it? It made a lot of sense, even though the extortionate wages. And I remember he played fantastic in his debut game against Yeovil.
He did, yeah.
The man of the match in his game against, so he'll always have that under his belt. But
yeah, I think his time is done.
Yeah, I think Ollie is near enough. We get bringing in Daniel James. I doubt James is going to play back up to Sanchez.
Personally, I think he should return to Italy.
Do you think?
Try and recover some form.
Who's going to pick him up though on that wage?
Inter. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Inter, yeah. Can they even... Are there many teams in Italy who can... How big of a pay cut's he going to take?
I mean, at this rate, I'm sure he just wants to play football.
He's had his payday.
Yeah.
Mind you, next thing you know, he could just bounce off to China and then completely throw. I think he's 30 years old now, pushing 30.
31, 32 maybe.
I think he's just around 30. I give it 2 years, I think you're right. I'll probably go back to Italy and then set sail to China. Right, my next pick. I've gone for a really, really outside the box pick. Probably a player I've gone for Remo Freuler. And I know what you're thinking. Who is Remo Freuler? Remo Freuler, 27 years old, Swiss international. He's been doing absolute bits for Atalanta this season under Gasperini. Gasperini took over a couple of years ago. 60 years old as well. It's weird seeing a 60-year-old manager bringing a team to third. Finished third this season.
It's an incredible.
For Atalanta, obviously on a limited budget, given the fact that they're not really a superpower in Serie A.
They have some star players though.
They
Alejandro Gomez.
Yeah, they do. But that's just from good purchases, isn't it? Yeah, just blow, just really on the ball purchases. Third most successful passes in Serie A. Only Brozovic and Alan have more. He's got an 88% passing accuracy, 2 goals, 6 assists. It's not the best return, but hear me out. Getting Freuler in is, you could get him out of Atalanta, considering he's 27 years old, for about, I'd say, 15, max 20 million.
That's what I think.
I'm bringing in Freuler because I think he's a guy who's who's not going to play every game in the season. I think United really need to start making signings like that. Instead of signing these Galactico signings that you want to change the squad, start filling out the squad more. And I think that's what Ollie's starting to do. Daniel James is a lot like Diogo Dalot, isn't he? He's not going to play those... he's not going to play every game of the season, essentially. He's going to be bled into the squad slowly. Freuler, for me, would just be an out, it's an outside-the-box shout. I think maybe stepping up from Atalanta to United may be a step too far. Maybe he has to get that other move before he goes on.
At the age of 27, I'm not sure. Like, he's about to hit his peak in his career.
He could be in his peak now as well.
Sure.
Maybe. And obviously the style of football in Italy is completely different to the style of football in England. We've seen, if Juan Sebastian Varane flopped to United, you can't. But I just think, at 27... It might not be a bad signing financially wise.
Yeah, financially, like 15 to 20 mil in this era of football. It's
mad to think, though, 10 years ago what 15 to 20 million got you compared to what 15 to 20 million gets you today. It's absolutely insane. I remember thinking if someone paid £30 million for someone, that was like a big... I remember when Berbatov went to United, but that was like... That was a big deal. Now, anything south of 40 million, you're like,
Exactly.
It's not that much money. Like Lindelof, I remember, went for 33 million at the time. And that was just seen as, the acceptable amount to pay for a punt on a decent young player.
I remember a quote from Arsene Wenger as soon as we bought Pogba for 89 million. It was like, soon. The 200 mil mark's going to be broken. And then next season, Neymar.
And the Chinese league as well has played its role, but Neymar has completely inflated the market. Like, can you imagine, like, a player like Fred, I'd have said to you 10 years ago, he's going to cost £52 million.
Mental.
I don't think Fred is that bad, by the way. No. I think he's got, considering the standard of football coming from the Ukrainian league to the Premier League. If I remember, fair enough, he did win the Premier League in his first season, but I can't remember Fernandinho being as sensational as...
Not straight away,
I don't think. And they paid £25 million for him.
Something like that.
Which is probably, I don't know the inflation figures, but I'm betting to say 25 million in 2013 probably equates to 40-50 million now. So Freuler, for me, he's, like I said, he's going to play 20-25 games a season, and the guy he's going to replace is a guy who plays 20-25 games, and it pains me to say it, although I do think he is going to stay because we have put a contract off on it, and that's Juan Mata, I absolutely love Juan Mata. He is really the nicest man in football.
Really,
technically wise, he's absolutely fantastic. He's such a professional. He is just everything that we need at the club right now.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that he really is... He's still technically sound.
Painfully slow.
He is painfully slow, to be fair. And I just think that he's probably going to be demanding a decent wage. Yeah. I can't put the number on it. I'm guessing in and around the 150.
Nah, I'd say that.
Maybe
180.
180, per week. Whereas someone like Ford, I think you could put on like 100k a week.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, he was a panic boy, wasn't he, Juan Mata, essentially, under Moyes? Who would have thought he would have lasted this long? It's amazing, actually, how all Moyes' signings have still lasted this long. Well, Fellaini's gone.
Fellaini's gone,
but as long as they did. Because he only signed two players, Fellaini and Mata. It makes you think, though, doesn't it, if he was backed, what David Moyes could do. Speaking of David Moyes, you see what Anders Lindegaard was saying?
I did not.
He was he did an interview with the Standard, I think it was, and he was saying stuff like David Moyes at Manchester United was like charging an iPhone with a Nokia charger and stuff like that. He was saying, like, he did throw a bit of sympathy Moyes' way, but just alludes, said stuff like every time we lost a game there was talk of if the manager was going to get sacked and like get rid of all the players. But it's amazing how Juan Mata has kind of persevered and got. But for me, I think, and I do think, I'm surprised he wants to stay. I thought with Herrera, because him and Herrera are I'm not sure if many know, they literally are inseparable around Manchester, the pair of them. They go everywhere together. And I think Herrera leaving has kind of rocked that boat, that Spanish boat with De Gea. Maybe this could be me speculating or whatever, but yeah, Juan Mata for me, unfortunately, as great as he is, as much as I love him, I think maybe his best is behind him for the wage we're going to pay. And that could be spent on a slightly younger player who is going to bring a little bit more intensity and tempo into the team. Right. Who is your final in and your final out?
My final in would be Kostas Malas. We need a hard-hitting centre-back.
Yes.
He's quick, which suits the Premier League. Really physical. Great in the air. Why not go for him?
Yeah, that's true. I've seen Manolas for a while now. I've seen him, and I thought he was absolutely immense. If you remember in the Barcelona game last year, I think he scored in the game. He was unbelievable.
He scored in both legs, didn't
scored, he? Did he? I remember he definitely scored in the home leg for Roma. I'm not sure if he scored in the away.
I'm sure he scored in both legs.
I can't remember. I definitely remember him scoring a one, but we were talking before as well. Apparently, he was meant to go to Chelsea.
Chelsea. He's been linked with Arsenal.
Yeah, he's linked
with like Asia, like either like China or somewhere.
Yeah, but it begs the question why we haven't been linked with him, given the fact that we need
a centre back. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I think any centre back out of Italy is like worth a punt at this stage.
Oh yeah.
They're so defensive minded out there. They always have been, but they just really have the knack of producing. Like, look at some of the young defenders, like Skriniar as a player.
Incredible. We're not going to,
because I think he signed a new contract recently, but Milan Skriniar is just one of those type of players that I would just love to have at the club. But Manolas as well.
Only 27 years old.
I was going to ask, how old is he now? He's been around for
ages. Yeah, 27 years old. I'm pretty sure he gets like 1.2 tackles a game, which isn't awful.
Yeah.
And 4.3 clearances.
That's pretty good as well. So again, it's like Orban, a guy who's just going to just get it out of there as well.
Exactly.
It's something we've been lacking, especially when you look at Ashley Young in the Barca game. What was that Cruyff turn? Just get rid of it, son. Get rid of it, honestly. But I like Manolas as a signing. Is he a decent passer of the ball? Is he good?
He's not too bad. He's not going to like play, you know, shabby like passes.
Well. No.
Yeah, he'll do the job.
And who is Manolas going to replace in your eyes?
That would be Matteo Darmian. With all the links of Wan-Bissaka coming in, it there's no point in me doing a straight swap for Darmian. Plus, Darmian has played at centre back before in a three at the back formation,
which is what Ollie may play at times at United possibly.
Yep.
But yeah, Darmian,
he's been with us for what now, 4 years?
It was 2014. It was 2015. Yeah, four years. Yeah.
He's been a decent seven, especially at the beginning. He hit the ground running.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Genuinely one of the best fullbacks in the league for a while.
Then Shaw broke his leg, and then Van Gaal put him at left back, and then he was completely out of his depth, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was a bit like kind of the opposite to Dalot in a way. He was, because Dalot's such a decent attacker, lacks defending. Darmian was the other way around. He was such a good. And that's why I think he kind of floundered. And that's why it just pains me that if Luke Shaw hadn't have broken his leg, how good would that Depay and Shaw linked down the left side would have been?
They did have quite some synergy.
You had Depay playing on that left and then Darmian behind him, but he just didn't have the attacking nous, or just maybe the attacking just natural, you know, it didn't come to him as much.
No.
And it was just so lopsided again, as we've seen so many times. I agree. I think he's been, at the time, I remember he was an Italian international when we got him. We got like 12 million, didn't
we? Yeah, something like
that. Again, it's amazing. Like, despite the fact we've spunked loads of money and had so many flops, throughout the years, we've actually had some, like, Ed's. I'm not going to praise Ed Woodward here, so relax, but we've managed to get a few. And I think I think you could still recoup a lot of the majority of that money, I think, right now.
Probably all of it.
Juve want him as well. Juve have been after him for a while.
He fits the sort of thing they have there. Like, they play three at the back. He could possibly do a job at centre back.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're alongside Chiellini and the defensive power they have.
Yeah. But, just alludes to the fact what we were saying before, just how good the Italians are. They're just able to. But like, Darmian could probably go back to Italy and like be in their team of the season, something like
that. It's not as weird that he's not as good going forward, considering he used to be a winger.
Yeah, he was a wing back, didn't he? That's where he plays for Italy.
Yeah,
because like you said, they played that back three with the Holy Trinity, whatever is Chiellini, Barzagli, Bonucci, and it would be Darmian on that right wing back side.
DeCilio as well.
But it's maybe it's just the system that, because Italians don't traditionally play attacking football. No. I think maybe they developed a system where You could play through the back and maybe use your wing backs wouldn't be used as forward. But yeah, I think Darmian, it's about time. He's been should have left maybe 2 years ago, but it's probably about time.
So you what would your last in and out be?
Well, my last in is a guy who's he's been linked to us a good bit, but I'm surprised not a lot more considering the evidence is there that he's so attainable for us, and that's Hirving Lozano from PSV.
Yeah,
Lozano from PSV. 17 goals, 8 assists this season. He put up similar numbers last season. 23 years old. So again, you're investing in a player who's edging towards his prime. Again, I did allude to it before that on the stream earlier that you don't know what you're getting from like the Eredivisie.
The last PSV winger we signed didn't turn out.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't turn out too well, but for every, and that was another bargain as well, 25 million.
Yeah, true.
But for every, you know, for every Van Nistelrooy you get, like you said, there's a Memphis Depay or a Vincent Janssen. But there's something I heard, and maybe this is a tactic, but his old club Pachuca, his ex-manager said, you know, that he's a United fan. He said, Jesus Martinez said, what I can say and guarantee is that Hirving has had Manchester United to get watching him since he was 16. They have his whole record. They have everything. Videos, goals, behaviour, qualifications. They are one of the clubs and the best scouts and professional in that area. And also as well, I think I remember hearing a few years ago, like last year, that his dad said, or someone close to him said that he wanted the United move. But again, we were talking earlier about Wan-Bissaka coming in, which looks, I don't want to say likely because I can just see Man City sweeping him from under our feet, but with Wan-Bissaka, if he was to come in, you need an attacking right winger to balance out, because Wan-Bissaka's not going to be that kid who's going to get Alexander-Arnold or Robertson levels of assist. So he's failed 2.3 times a game, which is similar numbers to what Daniel James is. Granted, that's in the Championship with 2.7. So maybe Ollie's trying to get these type of wingers who are going to draw fouls in.
Yeah.
2.1 key passes per game as well, which I think is more than Paul Pogba, who only plays 1.5, something like that. Again, granted, it's in maybe a lower standard of a league. He's 23 as well, though. That's the right age to come in.
Yeah.
But you saying the history of wingers from PSV,
yeah.
I do agree that just on second thought that maybe. But I think for that reason, if he does want to come to United, that's the reason I go for him, because you're not going to be looking at spending maybe 60, 50. And people in the comments were saying today on the stream that it doesn't matter what we just pay what they want. Well, that's not really kind of how it works. I mean,
yeah.
United, I'm not sure what the stats are now, but earlier in the season, they had the best, because essentially they are still making the most money revenue-wise. I think United had the best wage-to-income ratio in the league earlier this season. I think it was for every £100 United spent, only £48 of it was on wages.
Oh, really?
And coming from the Dutch league, I don't think he's going to be on a massive wage.
No.
But the only issue is, guess who's his agent? Yeah, Mino's back again. And I'm not sure, has his ban been overturned? There was talks of it being overturned. Somehow, some way, it'll probably be overturned realistically. Yeah. It's the Italian Federation, and the Italian Federation definitely do not have a reputation of being corrupt in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, for me, Lozano would be the guy to come in. Now, the guy he would replace, not directly, but I'm going to presume that Marcus Rashford's going to play in a central role next season.
I'd like to see that.
And it's Romelu Lukaku. I think Romelu Lukaku is an interesting one for me. I think you look at him and he's technically not a good footballer. He just like there's so many good goal scorers over the years who haven't been technically good, but I just think that the style that United want to play now, which is definitely less Mourinho ball-esque. He's a very much a Mourinho strike. We've said about Lukaku as well.
He's a weird one. Like sometimes, like, do you remember back when he played for Everton? I think it was in the FA Cup. He took on, I think it was like a whole Chelsea team or something. The whole Chelsea back line dribbling and taking it around them. Yeah, sometimes like he'll touch a ball and it'll go out for a throw-in.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes he can put in an unbelievable cross, can't he? And you're like, Jesus Christ, he can. But I think, I tell you what, a big thing is for me, he has put on way too much size.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it's, I'd say it is muscle. I mean, he's naturally a huge guy. He puts the blame on Roberto Martinez for that, allegedly in the Belgian squad, that he was the reason he put on the size. But I think now is the only time given the fact that the goal record is still all right, that you're going to recoup, you're not going to recoup all the 75 million. I'd be amazed if anyone managed, because Inter, it looks like Conte's going to try get him to Italy to regroup with him,
yeah,
which is who he actually wanted to get instead of Morata.
Yeah.
Thank God. Can you imagine we got Morata?
I imagine.
Jesus Christ. But I think now is probably the time to let Lukaku, he's just been just. It's amazing, just some of the goal drags he's been on. Was it like 10 games, 11 games?
Was it? As a main striker.
As a main striker, you just can't, it's unforgivable.
I mean, to be fair, Wayne Rooney was on numbers like that back in the day.
But Wayne Rooney was more of a like, Wayne Rooney wasn't necessarily an out-and-out striker. Obviously, like those games he would play that number
9.5.
Yeah, 9.5, exactly. Yeah, you play that 9.5 role.
But which is weird, because it worked with Van Persie, which also was like a 9.5. It's like playing two 9.5s.
But the differences between those two and Lukaku is Van Persie and Wayne Rooney were absolutely sensationally technically technically gifted. Both incredible at passing as well. But I think now is probably the time where it's got the losses, I think. And I think given his playtime towards the end of this season, I think Ollie's given his clearest indication that he's not going to give him the game time he needs. And look, I'm not going to hear him shit all over Romelu Lukaku, because he has given us some moments. He'll always have that day, that night in Paris, I think, when he scored two. He'll always, we may look back at him as maybe, or maybe not as endearing as like Diego Forlan, because he always had the game at Anfield, because fucking Lukaku cost so much money and we're expecting so much out of him. But I just think it's a clash of styles at the end of the day. Managerial changes can make or break whether a player's going to succeed at a club or not. But I don't know. Anyway, that's all from us today. Anyway, let us know in the comments below what three players you'd like to see and what three players you'd like to see go for next season. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time.
See you later, guys.